My grace is sufficient for thee, for power is made perfect in infirmity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. A little while ago, a parishioner in a different place, he was a new convert and had just started coming to Mass and the sacraments, but the frequency had come over from one of these large Protestant churches. And when, at a certain point, I didn't see him on a Sunday. I didn't think anything of it. But then Sunday and another transpired. And I wondered what had happened to him. Had he struggled and begun to have difficulties in the faith? Had he fallen away completely? Had he moved? Had something gone wrong with him? And I began to inquire what it was. Well, found out that he had had an ailment befall him. And in talking with him, he had said that this type of ailment was very debilitating, but it wasn't in any way life-threatening, really. It just hindered him from being able to come at that moment in time. And he expressed to me that he was hopeful that the next Sunday he'd feel better, and he'd be there again, and that I needn't come out to visit him. Well, that was fine. But then he was again absent for a couple more weeks until finally he returned back in good health, thankfully. But and so I came to him and I said, "Why did you not have me come and allow me to come and visit you, and bring you the sacraments at least?" And so he said that, he didn't even think about it and didn't want to trouble me in that way. I said, "Well, if this ever happens again, that's my job. Call me, text me, whatever it would be. We're happy to make sure we come by and visit you." He was very grateful for this. But I was struck by what his face expressed when I told him these things. This many a time, the people will tell me that they didn't want to bother me for one reason or another. But when I told him that it was part of my duty, and I was happy to do it, to come and visit him, he actually had a look of surprise upon his face when he had heard that. I took that with me, and at a certain point afterwards, I talked to a very close friend of his who had also been a Protestant and grown up Protestant like he did, and now had embraced the faith and was instrumental in actually bringing this gentleman to the faith as well. And so I told him, I said, I was surprised that he was so surprised. I would go and visit him. I said, "I know you didn't have the sacraments in the Protestant church, but wouldn't just out of kindness, if a parishioner was sick, that your minister would go and visit him, wish him well, and maybe say some prayers with him?" And he explained something to me that I had not really understood before. He said that it's a different mentality in their church. He said that the way that they were raised, their mindset was that if any kind of ailment or disability or some sort of physical difficulties or hardship came your way, well, that this was directly from the devil, and that as such it was truly evil, and that the only thing you could do in those moments was to pray by yourself, to try to remove it as quickly as possible, pray to be liberated from any kind of suffering altogether, because all suffering was evil. And he said, "I believe that while he doesn't still believe this, that type of mentality is still deep rooted and affects the way he acts in there." And I thought that this was truly both fascinating and ironically unscriptural in its foundation, because it made me instantly think of so many aspects from the scripture. Seeing that our Lord himself was tempted, and that also he suffered and he died for us, and that no man could ever claim that our Lord had evil or imperfection belonging to himself. The fact that it was the Pharisees, in their mentality, not our Lord, who assumed that physical illness or misfortune in life, instances like the aspect of St. Joachim and Anne not having a child until so long afterwards, that they were viewed as having sinned greatly and being displeasing in the eyes of God. It was the Pharisees who had this mentality, not Christ. It was like today's epistle with St. Paul, and where he lists out that he has suffered so much, both in way of hardships in his apostolic work, and also by way of his own internal temptations, the sting of the flesh from an angel of Satan, as he describes it, and a sting which our Lord expressly allows to continue. That is, all these things are given not to show that St. Paul is evil or that he is displeasing in the eyes of God, but rather to be a means to and the indicator of his growth in perfection. St. Paul famously lists out today his multitude of trials and sufferings that he has endured. He does so not as a means of bragging, but rather, instead, it shows true humility in these aspects. He points out all the things that one, especially if they are influenced by those same Pharisees who exist integrated amongst the people who are reading his epistle, that it shows that he is completely sincere in all of the work that he does, because he is not like the hireling. He is not one who is interested in doing the work only for a reward to be given straight away. He's not seeking after some sort of comfort or pleasure or simple aspect in life, but instead that he is a true shepherd of souls, that he is willing to suffer and he's willing to lay down his life for the truth he preaches and for the people that are entrusted to him. And that the Lord permits not only him to be persecuted or misfortune to fall upon him, but regularly permits him to continue to struggle in the face of temptations. This shows that he is not above those whom he preaches to. He is tempted just like they are. He labors against it just like they do. He struggles onward just in the same fashion. And he even desires for such things to be alleviated from him. But in those times of prayer where we ask for that chalice to pass him by, our Lord tells St. Paul that he is never abandoned, but rather that he has grace sent to him from above, sufficient grace to conquer temptation, to withstand trials and difficulties. This is never meant to be understood that he doesn't continue to struggle. St. Paul shows this. He prayed 3 times for it to go away until he finally realized that this was his lot. But rather that it is in that struggle that our Lord draws him towards perfection. And he includes in that same epistle the means by which he is able to not only obtain those graces, but to cooperate with them. It is in his watchings, those long times of prayer. It is in his fasting. And it is in his penances and the stinging that he does to his own flesh, adding upon what is already given to him. It is his continued efforts to find grace and the prospect of eternity as his sole focus and reward sought after. And it is meant to encourage the Corinthians as they read that they too will suffer, that they too will be tempted, that they too will find moments of difficulty and hardship. It doesn't mean that they are forsaken. It doesn't mean that they are displeasing in the eyes of God. It doesn't mean that in some way what they have embraced is false. And it is the same for us. We too read the same epistle. We too follow the same Christ. And we know by our own life experiences that at times we are tried, and we are assailed, and we are tempted. And that laboring under these weights can be truly a struggle and a difficulty. But we should never look at it as if it is indication that we are evil or we are broken. Merely that it is to say that we are not perfect. But when it is viewed in the correct light, like St. Paul does, and understanding our Lord's message that it is in that times of temptation that he grows in perfection, that we can therefore with the peace of soul embrace, persevere, and cooperate with grace so that we are made to be more perfect. It is that in realizing that these things await us from time to time, and that the struggle in the face of temptation will be around the corner for us, that we add our own sting to our flesh, our times of prayer, our own points of fasting, our own penances. We look at seasons like Lent as not something to be dreaded, but rather to be looked forward to and embraced, because in those efforts we find that we are strengthened and that it is the means in which we are able to become a saint. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.